We are going to turn our attention now locally to California, where the largest operator of recycling redemption centers has shut down and laid off over 700 employees, saying it stopped operating because of increased business costs and falling prices of recycled aluminum and PET plastic. We are joined by Mark Murray, the executive director of Californians Against Waste. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning.
What does this mean, that this huge recycling operator has shut down? What are the impacts of this on the state?
Well, I guess it's important to know that this closure is really the tip of the iceberg in terms of the number of locations. It's that when the small independent mom and pop recycling centers close, we don't read about it, we don't hear about it. So for every Replanet site that is closed, there's been a small independent site that's been closed. So overall in the state of California, we've lost more than 1,000 buyback recycling centers. The reason for that is that, you know, part of it is the drop in scrap value for aluminum, the drop in scrap value across the board. But California has had in place for 30 years now a program that requires the beverage industry to cover the cost of recycling. And that the provisions of that program are broken right now. The CalRecycle, the state agency, doesn't have the authority to close the gap in real time, close the gap between the cost of recycling and this very real and significant drop in scrap values. So for especially in Northern California and rural areas of California, there may not be an opportunity for you to redeem beverage containers to get your nickel back. And, you know, I know a lot of us rely on curbside recycling, but the majority of beverage containers today are still returned for recycling at buyback recycling centers. So this is significant.
And this is often also cash income for some of the poorest people in society, collecting cans and bottles and redeeming them.
Yeah, yes. You know, I mean, I think that there are many of us that we recycle the cans and bottles and for a soccer team or for a church or for a community group. But there are definitely a lot of people who are surviving on the income from redeeming beverage containers. And many of those people, as I think we know, don't have transportation. They don't have the opportunity to drive to the next town, the next city where there might be an open recycling center. So this is significant. This program is designed to provide consumers both with an opportunity to redeem containers, but also to create a bounty on those containers when they are thrown away, when they're littered. And we've already seen a drop in recycling rates with the closure of other recycling centers, and I fear that without a quick fix by the legislature and governor, we're going to see even more recycling centers close this fall.
Several bills in the offing to that effect. They're basically attacking it on two different fronts. There's a bill from Assemblymember Phil Ting from San Francisco that would force manufacturers to increase the minimum amount of recycled content in their beverage bottles. So that would shore up the market for recycled materials. And then there's a separate push to regulate the amount of packaging that the industry generates. You want to kind of walk us through what they would do, what their prospects are?
Sure, sure. I think that Assemblymember Ting's legislation, AB 792, is probably can provide the most direct an immediate response to this problem. And the idea behind it, the majority of beverage containers sold today in California are PET plastic containers for soft drinks, for water. So 54% of the beverage containers that are sold are now in PET plastic. And this bill would effectively require the beverage industry to buy back their old plastic. They would have to buy bales of recycled plastic, process that material, and turn it into the material, the pellets, to make new beverage containers. And in this way, it's what we call closing the loop on recycling. But in a bigger way, it would make the beverage industry 100% financially responsible for getting those containers back. And so that's really the theory behind AB 792. We know it's technically possible for the beverage industry to use recycled plastic. In fact, Naked Juice has been using 100% recycled content in their plastic beverage containers for more than 10 years. So it's technically possible. We have the infrastructure in place, and this would be a way for the beverage industry to effectively, through scrap price, finance the cost of returning those containers, moving them through the collection processing system. And so that's the theory behind 792. I would say at this point that the beverage industry, Coke, Pepsi, the bottled water industry, they recognize that something has to be done. They can't just kind of sit on their hands. And so I'm hopeful that an agreement will be worked out in the next 4 weeks on that legislation. But if not, I think the legislature is prepared to adopt it over the objections of the beverage industry.
But, okay, so like plastic recycling's had kind of a shady rap in environmental circles for a long time, because the idea that the stuff you're throwing away gets put back into circulation is great in principle, but the actual recycling process consumes energy, releases pollution, and is not incredibly efficient. Wouldn't it be more productive for the state to, you know, target the generation of disposable packages at the source?
Well, I think that you're partially correct, and that is the direction of the other legislation. But in the world of beverage containers, now, and let me start by saying, it is absolutely absurd that Californians are consuming, 24 billion single serve bottles of sugar water and tap water. I mean, that's absurd. That's where the environmental cost is coming from. But unless we're going to regulate the consumption of these two products, they're going to have to be in some kind of package. And as it ends up, putting them in a recycled plastic package, a recycled PET plastic package, has a lower carbon footprint than if we put those same that same beverage in a glass container. If we're going to have tap water and sugar water sold to people every day, 24 billion every single year, then a recycled PET bottle is actually a low carbon footprint way of doing that, if that bottle is getting is part of a closed loop recycling system. So that's really what we're offering to the beverage industry. If you want to continue to deliver product in this package, you're going to have to close the loop. And that means we're not going to take this plastic and try to find some third party end user. We're not going to ship it to China. We're not going to put it into carpet or some other one-time use. If you're going to continue to deliver these products in a single use package, then that package is going to have to be closed loop recycled.
Is there any kind of generational decay? Is there a limit to how many times you can recycle a polymer from one of those bottles into another bottle?
There is a degradation of the material, but actually not in the same as, I mean, it's in the, there's maybe a 10 to 12% degradation as opposed to, paper, where you actually have a greater percentage of degradation. So we should be so lucky as to have 100% recycling rate for paper and glass and plastic. So, the high levels of recycling proposed, the high levels of recycled content in Assemblymember Ting's bill, 75% recycled content, that matches up nicely with about a 90% recycling rate. So that's sustainable, that's doable, that has a moderate carbon footprint. It's a much lower carbon footprint than, using new material every day to make these plastic containers, or really to make any kind of single-use container. So delivering 75% recycled content, having a 90% recycling rate, that's achievable, sustainable, and it's a matter of getting the beverage industry to effectively pay for it.
Do you think it's likely? Do you think Ting's bill has a chance of passing? How strong is the opposition?
Yeah, I think, as I said, I think that, the soft drink industry recognizes that their plastic containers have a target on their back, and they recognize that they've got to do something. I think that they feel that the Ting legislation goes too far too fast. But I'm not sure that the California legislature is as enamored with the arguments from the soft drink industry as maybe they might have been 5 years ago. So I feel pretty good about our chances. I'm hopeful that the elements of the beverage industry will recognize that it's time to think big. It's time to go beyond what they agreed to in Europe as part of the European Union's 50% recycled content. We're hopeful that they'll come around. But if they don't, I think Assemblymember Ting has made it clear that he is going to push forward. I think we have a very good chance of passing it over their opposition.
What about the actual deposit price? Like the redemption value of bottles and cans has not gone up in my lifetime that I can remember with inflation. Like, you know, shouldn't it maybe be worth 50%,
yeah,
50 cents to take,
yeah,
your bottle back?
Well, you know, I'll tell you, Oregon had their nickel deposit in place for, 30 years, and recycling rates in Oregon stagnated, and, folks didn't think that a change value would make a difference. They increased the refund value to 10 cents. So from a nickel to 10 cents in Oregon, and in less than 2 years, the recycling rate went from 65% to 85%. So I think that California should definitely be looking at an increase in refund value. Folks have been talking about that. I think the as part of the discussion, we got to make sure that we rebuild the collection infrastructure. It doesn't do us any good to have a dime refund value if folks can't get that money back. I think that the legislature is going to be, hopefully in the next 4 to 5 weeks, focused on coming up with the resources from the beverage industry to reestablish that collection infrastructure so it's convenient for consumers to get their money back. And then I think we should be looking at increasing that refund value.
Yeah, but, at a certain level, the collection infrastructure pays for itself. I get my organic milk in glass bottles with a $2 redemption value. You better believe I bring those back to the supermarket.
Right.
That's not operated by Replanet. Mark Murray, thank you so much for speaking to us.
Thanks for having me.
Mark Murray's executive director of Californians Against Waste. That takes us to 8 o'clock in the morning here at KPFA 94.1 FM in Berkeley, KPFB 89.3 FM in Berkeley, KFCF 88.1 FM in Fresno, K248BR 97.5 FM in Santa Cruz, and online around the world, www.kpfa.org. The show is Up Front. My name is Brian Edwards-Tiekert.
And I'm Kat Brooks. And in the second half of the hour, we are going to turn our attention to Santa Rita Jail. Another man has died in custody, and the sheriff who put him in restraints that killed him is on leave. What is happening in Santa Rita? Who is responsible? We're going to talk to Scott Morris, who's been following Santa Rita very closely. He's an independent journalist in Oakland covering policing, protests, civil rights, and neighborhood news.
That's coming up next.
After the news.